Welcome to the Ignition Point Podcast.
This is where, from time to time, Jeremiah and I get to share what's on our hearts with all of you.
So thanks for logging in, and we hope you enjoy it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Ignition Point Podcast. Today's episode is all about the subject of living well, and will be a tribute of sorts to a dear friend, mentor, and father in the faith, Vaughn Gerald, who passed away suddenly a few days ago.
There's so much that can be said about Vaughn. I mean, he was a missionary for countless years in nations around the world, more than I could even begin to list. He started a prayer movement ages ago in upstate New York that eventually became a powerful church there. It's called Kingsfire Church, one of our favorite churches here in America. And he also started a major work in India that his entire family was a part of, working there and living in India off and on. But more than any of those things, I think for all of us, Vaughn's legacy lies in the way that he impacted so many of our lives.
I like to describe Vaughn to people that have never met him as one of the most physically intimidating people, but one of the most loving, fathering kind of guys that they would ever meet. Vaughn is he was a huge man, a British guy,
an ex-rugby
player. He loved to talk loud. He loved intensity when he would preach, but he had just such a tender and pure heart towards the presence of God. We have so many funny stories too of things that, just ways he impacted us, but it was, in the small statements, in the prophetic words, in the funny stories, and in the poignant truths that he would always deliver in every scenario. He referred to himself as Vaughn the Aged because he had been around the block and back, and he could encourage anyone in any circumstance because he had lived his whole life well. I remember just some of the funny stories. I was at this missions conference. We were there, I guess it was 2005, and Vaughn was one of the guest speakers, and this was like one of the first times I had been around Vaughn. And the conference had a coffee after the main session where all the missionaries could get together with all the special speakers and we could just get to know each other. And so I'd arrived there first because I guess I love coffee and I needed some coffee in that moment. So I sat down and this other missionary guy named Mike sat next to me, and then Vaughn came to our table. So automatically you're going to sit up a little straighter and you're going to make sure that you say the right thing because Vaughn was just so intimidating, especially when you didn't know him. So he sat down at the table and he looked at Mike and he said, "Mike," in this deep voice that Vaughn was famous for, "Mike, when is the last time that you read the Bible from the front to the back?"
Except with a British accent. Can you do it with a British accent?
I can't. So Mike, started to sink down in his chair. Like,
oh, God.
Oh no, you're not going to like this answer. Like, I've never done that. But, I'm the worship leader at the conference, and I am not so subtly sinking down in my chair as well. Because I figured maybe I had read the Bible, in total through the years, through all the different scripture roulette games I would play and all the failed Bible reading schedules I had been on. I'm sure I had read it, just not intentionally. But what he was talking about was an intentionality.
From cover to cover.
From cover to cover, like a novel. And then when Mike gave him the answer, like, "I haven't done that," Vaughn teared up and he said, "Mike, man, you've got to do it. When you read the Bible like that, it is the most beautiful story."
Yeah.
He just always loved the word. And then he said, "The first time I did it, I was in the woods in Florida, and I read it in 2 weeks." And I was like, my God. He was always such a radical about the Bible and the word. And it really, really impacted me.
Yeah. I remember the first time that I met Vaughn. I actually had known Vaughn prior from the time I was about 19 years old. And I remember one time he was staying with our family and I woke up early to get coffee and Vaughn was making his tea. And it was so funny because it was a chilly morning and I just grabbed my coffee mug and began to pour my coffee. And Vaughn looked at me like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Do you not warm your mug?" And I was like, "No." And he goes, "I must teach you." I won't even attempt his like thick, beautiful British accent. But he was like, "I must teach you to warm your mug, princess." He always called all of us girls, which any person listening to this, any woman that knew him knew that Vaughn had this amazing way of he would greet you and say, hello, princess. And he just made you feel like a princess and give you that big, giant Vaughn bear hug. And so anyhow, he taught me that I still do this to this day, too, on a chilly morning to warm my mug prior to putting my hot drink in it so that it will stay warm longer. And so it's just such a silly, but there were little things like that and Vaughn calling us princesses. And then huge things like Vaughn could stir you to faith, to believe for crazy. Like he would always say, I have 5 children born on 5 different continents. And I mean, there was no box with Vaughn. There was no, oh, you can't do that because.
And like, there was no excuse. Like
never.
Nobody could offer an excuse that he couldn't immediately shoot down with a list of experiences that he had lived.
And so he shattered every box in your mind, every confinement in your mind, and forced you to believe for more, to think beyond. And I think that every one of us who knew him carries that inside of us because he was so anointed in faith.
Yeah.
Another thing I remember one time when we started traveling with our children and we only knew a handful of people that traveled with their kids, and Jeremiah was at some service where Vaughn was preaching. I was home with the tiny baby at the time, and Jeremiah texted me and he goes, Vaughn just said, God has no grandchildren. And it was like, I have taken that with me. That was probably 8-9 years ago. And I have taken that with me through the years as our kids travel in ministry with us. And so many of the Overland Missions people that we partner with do the same, that like our kids have a direct line to God. He is their father and they are not his grandchildren. They are his children and he has full responsibility to care for them. Again, inspiring our faith, you know?
Vaughn was also the first guy that ever invited me to Africa. And I'd grown up, as I've said in previous episodes, like going on mission trips all the time, but I'd never been to Africa. And Vaughn walked up to me at one of the conferences that we had been at together, and he said, Jeremiah, meet me in Livingston.
I remember that. And we were like, I think we were at an Overland Missions wedding, and he came to the table and just stared you down the way only Vaughn could. He moved in that prophet mode and would just like speak it to you.
Yeah, meet me in Livingston in September. And I was like, okay, sure. And it was one of the greatest adventures of my life. And so he was speaking at a conference in this church in the city of Livingston, and he wanted me to lead the worship. So you can never really time your departures or arrival in Africa so well, because you could run into a herd of elephant on the road that you can't drive around until they move. And so I was a little bit late to the church service, which I don't like that at all, especially when I'm supposed to be the worship leader and I have to meet a band that I've never met or played with before, from a different culture completely, a different musical style completely. So we pull up to the conference just a little bit late to the church service, and I'm walking in real quick with my guitar, and Vaughn meets me at the door, and there's worship going on behind in the church, and it's sounding kind of strange, and he just looks at me, and he opens his eyes wide, and he's like, please take over. I was like, okay. And so I go up there, and man, it was so strange trying to plug in my guitar in the middle of a worship service that's already going with guys leading the worship and playing the music that I've never met before. But it was such an amazing thing that happened that night. Yeah. It went from kind of chaos to just this most beautiful moment of unity between people from so many different areas. But that's the kind of guy that Vaughn was. He was always a uniter. He would always pull people from different cultures and speak the language of the kingdom, and everyone would get it. I remember at the end of that conference, the power went out on our very last service. And Vaughn came over to me and he said, he pulled the background singers over because these girls had some voices. And he goes, you lead them and they'll lead the church. He just understood. He understood ministry. He understood how to get it done. And he quoted a scripture at the end of that night by candlelight in there. And as Courtney talks a little bit more, I'm going to look it up and find it, and I'll read it to you.
One of the things that was always so striking to me about Vaughn, if you knew him, like we've said, like he was an intimidating presence. He was a big guy in stature and a big guy in voice. And he was a prophet in every sense of the word. So he carried that authority. But Vaughn was crazy in love with Jesus. And the minute, I mean, that man would cry at the moment he would feel the presence of God, the moment that he could not speak. And anyone who knew him knows this. Like, he could not speak of the day that he gave his life to Jesus ages ago, decades and decades and decades ago, without weeping. Even all these many decades later, his heart was still so tender to the Lord. And the minute that we would begin to worship, Vaughn would be right up front with all the young people, everybody dancing, clapping, worshiping, walking around. Like, he was passionate and gave the rest of us, as usual, no excuse. But I'll never forget one of the greatest gifts that I feel like Vaughn ever gave me. And literally, we could sit here and tell Vaughn stories. I mean, I'm 36 and I've known him since I was 19. So there's a lot. But I'll never forget, he had invited Jeremiah and I to come up to Kingsfire Church and to preach. And we were up there with him and the people who now pastor his church and have for many years, Josh and Elaine Ortman, incredible people. And we had just finished preaching. And I'll never forget, Vaughn came and he put his arm around me and he was like, "Jeremiah and Courtney are dirt preachers." Mm-hmm. And when he said that, it was like something exploded on the inside of me for two reasons. One, Vaughn had this incredible ability just to get you. Like, I was like, yeah, that's exactly what we are. But two, it was almost like we were branded in that moment. And it has stood with us for all these years. Like, yes, we are dirt preachers, and that's where we belong, and that's where God's created us to be.
That night in Zambia, when he was quoting that scripture, this was it. It was in John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 and 13. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. And so everyone that Vaughn came in contact with, he would view through that lens. I want to read a little thing that one of the missionaries of Overland Missions wrote about Vaughn. This is from Stetson Wheat. It says, "Today, Vaughn Gerald, a great man in God's army and a great voice into Overland Missions, has gone home to glory. I've been thinking about him this morning as we travel past the Pensacola Pine Forest, where he first answered the call of the Holy Spirit. Since that day, he has traveled the globe many times over, speaking the word of God and shaking people loose from their comfortable cultural molds into the service of Jesus Christ. Many, many missionaries are on the field today because of his inspiration. Those of us who have had the privilege of spending time with him will forever appreciate his harsh yet loving, wild yet principled, deep yet hilarious contributions into our lives. He may have passed on, but he has left a great legacy behind. The sound of his famously loud British voice still carries, as many of us keep his prophetic words in our hearts, looking forward to their fulfillment. May we steward his influence well. May we take up his fierce loyalty, his heavenly perspective, his weighty words, and his enduring commitment. I'm sure he had an amazing celebration and a great reward in heaven. Vaughn, you'll be missed, and your work continues."
Two nights ago, we were separated people. Two nights ago, we were from different cities, different countries, different ministries. But tonight, we are one people under God. Amen. And I want to encourage you, God is enlarging us. Amen. God is fulfilling his promise through the cross. Amen. The Bible says the cross, the world is crucified to us and we are crucified to this world. Amen. We're not of this world, brothers and sisters. Amen. We are born from above. Amen. Tonight, the most common prayer I prayed on people was from John chapter 1. You were not born by the will of man.
That's right.
You were not born by the will of flesh. Yes. You were not born by the will of blood, but you were born by the will of God. Yes.
Vaughn is survived by his wife Wendy, his daughters Alice, Grace, and Sarah, his sons Daniel and Paul, and a countless number of us dirt preachers who he spoke into, prophesied the word of God over, and pushed towards our destinies in the nations. He was my friend, he was my chief encourager, and one of my few and true fathers in the faith. So during the break, we want to play one of the songs of mine that he loved the most, Not My Own.
I've been bought for a price. No longer a slave to sin. But walking in your light, it's a gift I don't deserve. A reward I could never earn. I will pay you with my praise, with my voice and hands raised. My song. I am not of this world. Your call has set me apart. I live an eternal life, ever since you changed my heart. My words fail to express your worth. Greater than anyone's ever seen or heard. You're a gift that I don't deserve. A reward I could never earn. Jesus, how I
as Jeremiah said in the beginning, the message of this podcast is about living well, and it's a tribute to our friend Von Gerold and the message that he carried to all of us of making the most of this one life that God has given us to live. Yeah. And so I've been thinking a lot since yesterday, and I was reminded of this essay that I wrote years ago, many, many years ago. One of my grandmothers, who my grandmothers were a really intimate part of my life growing up, and one of my grandmothers was transitioning from this life to the next. And I had been spending a lot of time, she was in hospice and spending a lot of time at her bedside. And I came home one night, it was a really bad storm. I woke up in the storm. And of course, I immediately thought of her there in her bed and worried, like, is the storm going to scare her and that kind of stuff. And then I realized, you know, she's on a lot of major medications right now. She probably doesn't even hear the storm. And I couldn't go back to sleep. So I got up and I just began to really think, because that year had been a year that a lot of people that we knew or people that were close to us or even just people in our circle of relationship had experienced death and tragedy. A good friend of ours, an older gentleman, had died, and I had had the incredible opportunity to speak at his funeral. A friend had lost a baby at full term. Another friend's husband had died of cancer. One of those years where you're faced with a lot of sorrow and suffering. And in the course of that year, I remember thinking of a scripture I had read as a young woman, and it's Ecclesiastes. I'll read it to you. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2, and this is what it says. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, for death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. And the New Living Translation, I think it is, says basically it's better to go to funerals than parties, because eventually we all are, unless Jesus comes back, we're all going to end up at the funeral. And it's at that place that you ask the hard questions. And when I read that as a young woman, I thought, what? Like, I'd rather be at the party. I'd rather be dancing. I'm a dancer, like my background. So I'll take a chance to dance in any moment, you know? And so at the party, at the feasting, life is fun, everything is great. But the problem with that is at the party, none of the hard questions are asked. At the party, we don't look at our life and have to really take note to analyze, what am I doing with this life that I've been given? Yeah. But at the funeral, in the house of mourning, it's hard to put the blinders on. We have to take a second and we start to think about our own lives. We start to think about the relationships in our lives and the people around us. And so that is what I want to encourage you with today. The truth of the matter is that your life is a precious commodity.
That's right.
That before you were even in your mother's womb, Psalm 139 says that God had the idea of you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He collects your tears. He knows you. You are not an accident. You are born with purpose and for a reason. And every day, like I always say this, you don't get to redo yesterday. Like when yesterday is over, and it's the last chance you ever get to have that day. But yet so often we treat life as if it goes on forever. But James writes in the book of James that it's a vapor. Like he says, even when you make your plans for the future, you should make them if God is willing. You know, if I'm still alive and this is my plan. And that can sound a little morbid, I realize, but it changes the way you live. If you thought you only had a week left, the things that you're fighting over, the things that seem like a big deal, the things that you've been scared to try, your perspective on all of that, it's like you have a new set of eyes. But what if we actually lived that way? A lot of times I like to say, like, imagine your epitaph. Like if you were going to be buried and have an epitaph at your gravestone. I know, just hang in here with me. This is wah, wah, wah. Like, but imagine that. What do you want people to say about you when you're dead? Because your life is telling a story.
That's
whether
right.
it's absentmindedly writing a story that you have no purpose or forethought in, or whether it's a story that you are chasing after, a story that you are writing with a purpose and with an intention and a message, that is up to you. But if you think of the end from the beginning, like God does, right? He already knows how it ends. He already knows that he wins. And so I started thinking about that many years ago, and I thought, okay, when I die, I want people to say that because Courtney lived, I know him. And I want them to say it like that, like, I know him. him meaning Jesus,
yeah.
and that he is their friend and he is their love and he has revolutionized and changed their life. And because they know him, they're walking in the purpose and the plan of God. And so because I want that to be the final word of my story, I am living and molding and shaping my story, because tomorrow is the only chance I get to live my story tomorrow. So what is my story going to tell tomorrow? What is the legacy I'm going to live tomorrow? So this is what I want to encourage you. The most beautiful lives are lived not just for themselves. Think of the things that we love in life. Like for me, that might be lots of chocolate and great Brazilian coffee.
And me.
And well, you too. Of course, I think of food and coffee before you. And my delicious husband, who I can't share with people. But like a great bar of chocolate or a wonderful, you know, pot of coffee, like you don't want to just hoard that for yourself. Like it's fun shared,
yeah.
And your life shared, your life poured out and not just held to yourself is something beautiful. So I encourage you this year, in this moment, in this day, like don't keep thinking one day and I will. Like now, today, live. Today, do something that when you get in your bed tonight, you look back and you said, I lived my life well today. And give your life away. Love someone well today. Encourage someone today. Bring hope to someone today. Chase after a dream that you've been scared to chase after. Find that baby step and go for it today. I just want you to know that in the house of mourning, when we realize that life is brief, right? There is a brevity to life that we don't know. We don't know what the future holds, and we've been promised nothing. But you're alive today. That person that you haven't forgiven, is it really worth it? Like, you know, if you died tomorrow, would it be worth still having unforgiveness in your heart toward them? Don't be afraid. Forgive, move on, take leaps of faith. If Vaughn were here today, he would be saying, go, do it, be radical, live yeah. a story that everyone else goes, holy cow, that was amazing.
Yeah. So we want to thank Vaughn for the reminder. We want to thank all of you for listening. And we hope that you are inspired to go out and live your life well.
Thanks so much for listening. And be sure to keep an eye out for our next podcast.
And stay in touch with us at our website, theignitionpoint.org, or on Twitter, or on Facebook, or on Instagram. See you next time.